This is Lucy Middleton, the voice of Amanda in Once Upon a Wasteland. Before we start the episode, I'd like to take a moment to let you know about our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/onceuponawasteland. It's a great way to support the show and get some perks too, including behind-the-scenes content, access to a private Discord server, and some cool merch. Now, let's see what kind of trouble I get into in this episode. Thanks for listening.
Once upon a time, 27 years after the bombs fell, there were two people, a vault dweller and a California girl. They met and sparks flew. That's when things got interesting. This is their story.
Once Upon a Wasteland, Season 3, Episode 9. That Day We Read No More.
Hey, you two. I've been working on the menu for the reception and had a few ideas to run by you.
Thank you, Bones. Certainly looking forward to that. But we'll need to take a rain check.
Sure thing. We've got plenty of time, but some of the ingredients have limited availability.
Well, now you've got my attention.
Can I get you a drink? I've been working on those too.
We'll have to take a rain check on that as well. Is Amanda here?
No, she got a message from the bunker and rushed out of here a little while ago. She didn't send you a message?
No, she didn't.
We spoke with Valeria this morning and gave her a quick briefing.
Very quick.
Yes. We told her about Victor Zangief's presence in Appalachia, and it might mean Cindy is in danger.
Well, whatever she told Amanda, it got her very fired up. She used some words even I've never heard before.
Oh dear. I knew we couldn't trust her.
It was a chance we had to take. If we hadn't said anything and something happened to her...
I know. It would be our fault, but still...
I tried to talk her into letting me come with her at least. You know, maybe calm her down a little.
You're a good influence on her.
Just returning the favor, but she wasn't having it.
That's not surprising. When she gets upset enough, she wants to handle things all by herself. And there's no stopping her. Some things never change.
When did she leave? We might be able to catch up with her.
About an hour ago, I think.
I don't think either of us have had that kind of foot speed. But...
she can't outrun a radio. I'll be right back.
This is certainly a change of pace.
What is?
We're usually warning people about Valeria.
Whatever differences you all have had in the past, it's the right call. She was full of hellfire when she stormed out of here. How have you been?
I've been well, thank you. Getting back into a routine has helped. Well, such as it is, at least.
I know what you mean. Even though there's not that much has been routine around here lately, just dealing with the same kind of bullshit you're used to helps.
That's a good way of looking at it. You always know how to put things into perspective. You know that?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
I'm sure you have. Between you and Cindy, Amanda's got a brilliant support network in place.
Aren't you forgetting somebody?
No, there's just been so much uncertainty lately. Things had to happen just right for me to make it back home. If I turned left instead of right at some point in those years in Grohlsberg...
You can't think that way.
But I do.
I do sometimes too. The boss will be lost without me, after all.
You joke, but she would.
Who said I'm joking? but I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Good. That makes me feel a bit less crazy.
I'm not sure you should be using me as your benchmark for that.
Come on, Bones. You're one of the most sane people I know.
I think you need better friends.
Cindy, what on earth are you doing here?
I got here as fast as I could. Where's Amanda? I heard about the hitmen. The colonel sent me with 3 escorts.
Slow down.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Just tell me what's going on.
Where is Amanda?
On her way to the bunker.
What? Why?
She got a message from the colonel. I don't know what it said, but whatever it was enough to get her to go to the White Spring by herself. Hitman or no hitman.
I take you didn't cross paths with her on your way here?
No.
Please don't worry. Odessa is getting Valeria on the radio right now. We'll get this figured out.
The first thing we need to figure out is who that message came from.
What do you mean?
It didn't come from the colonel. She didn't send any messages. Not to Amanda, not you, not to anybody at Fort Atlas.
You're certain about that?
I'm positive.
Could it have been Modus?
Not unless he does one hell of a Valeria impression. The boss was very clear that the message came from the colonel herself.
She may not have sent a message, but she did receive one. That's why I'm here.
Who was it from?
No idea. You know Eugenie, right?
Yes, from the Blue Ridge Caravan Company.
Right. She said somebody gave her an eyes-only message that was to be hand-delivered to the colonel and no one else.
What does that have to do with us?
The message is unreadable. Even Modus couldn't make heads or tails of it.
I've never seen encryption that Modus couldn't crack.
Well, it's not encrypted. It's in another language, I think. I'm not a linguistics expert, but I've seen a dozen different languages, and this doesn't look like any of them.
Let me see. Oh no.
I don't like that look.
This is the language of the ancients.
The ancients? As in?
As in the great old ones. This is bad.
How bad?
Before we came home, Eric Blackhall let me look through some of the volumes that had previously been off limits to anyone outside of the family. There were a few, very few, fortunately, that were written in a language that he'd said been handed down by the great old ones themselves.
And this message is in that language?
I'm afraid so. It's unmistakable.
Can you translate it?
Possibly. Eric taught me the basics, but if it's complicated or a different dialect. Give me a few minutes?
Of course.
You doing okay over there, Lieutenant?
Never better.
Can I tempt you with a slice of cheesecake? I've been trying out a few different recipes for the reception. Think I have a winner, but I'd love a second opinion.
That sounds great.
Cindy? How fast did you run to get here?
You're not surprised to see me? Beth and Bones look like they've seen a ghost.
I only just got off the radio with Valeria. She told me you were on your way here. Did you run into any difficulty?
If you're asking whether Victor Zangief tried to murder me, the answer's no.
Good. She told me that she didn't send Amanda a message. Is that true?
Yeah. I don't know who sent that message, but it wasn't her and it wasn't anyone else in the Enclave.
You're sure about that?
I know you don't trust her, and I know you have a good reason not to, but in this case, she's telling the truth. I'm sure of it. I checked the logs myself.
Speaking of messages, she told me about the one that you brought for Beth to look at.
Yes, she's looking at it now. She said that it was the language of the ancients?
That's concerning. Especially given what we've learned about the Blackhall and Dunwich family's activities in Appalachia. That language hasn't been used in tens of thousands of years, at least according to what Eric Blackhall told us.
Not actively used, but some of the people in that cult would know how to read it, right?
Yes. It was passed down from generation to generation so that any newly discovered texts could be translated. Eric and his father were both fluent. Beth said that it's surprisingly simple to pick up once you get the orthography and grammar down.
So that means that there are probably people around who can write it, too.
According to the information that Greg found, All of the black holes in Appalachia were wiped out by the Scorched. But with a triadic conduit here, it's logical to assume that others took their place once the region stabilized.
It's logical, but it's been more than 3 years since the Scorched Plague was eradicated. Wouldn't they want to pick things up right away?
The region might be too stable for them to execute their plan, whatever it is.
That would explain why they want to use your wedding to eliminate the heads of all the factions.
It would. Two of the locations they'd need to secure are controlled by the strongest factions in Appalachia. And beyond that, the mutual defense agreement that Elise negotiated means that an attack on either of them would bring the Brotherhood, Foundation, and Free States together to repel them.
And the Battle of Flagrante Belo showed what we can accomplish when we work together.
I'm glad we've established the level of cooperation we have. Without that...
Any luck?
What's wrong?
I think I should have taken a few more translation lessons from Eric. But it's not a total loss. Look at this. Notice anything?
The Hearthstone Haven. Stephen and Mara's Inn in Cincinnati.
Ugh, I was so preoccupied with the message itself, I didn't even look at the letterhead.
It's all right. Something about that text just draws your eyes to it. Even without a translation of the text, this is a data point we can use.
How can we use it without knowing what the message says?
Let's think this through. The message was delivered to Valeria. That was a deliberate action. To your knowledge, has the Enclave ever dealt with anything surrounding the Black Holes or Ugh-Qualtoth?
No, we've never encountered anything like this before. I've even asked Modus. He knew about Dunwich Borers, but just what was out there publicly.
As far as we're aware, Beth is the only person in Appalachia who has the knowledge required to translate that message. But they didn't send it to her. They sent it to Valeria.
What if... No, it can't be.
I'm willing to listen to any ideas that you might have.
What if they sent it to Valeria because they knew she'd send me to deliver the message to Beth? But why would someone go to all that trouble?
If the Black Holes are behind this, well... If there's one thing they love, it's an annoyingly intricate plan.
We may be able to use that to our advantage. At least, eventually. The more complex the plan, the more that can go wrong. That's especially true if it's complex just for the sake of it.
That's why I always use the KISS method.
What's the KISS method?
Keep it simple, stupid.
I like that. I'll bring it up at our next officers' meeting.
Did you get anywhere with the translation?
I thought I had. But I have to be mistranslating it. Either that or it's idiomatic in a way that I'm not familiar with.
It could be a difference in dialects. After all, we didn't understand the significance of the name Mickey Bliss. What did you come up with?
This is embarrassing. Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
What the... That's a line from a Cole Porter song.
You are full of surprises. I never took you for a Cole Porter fan.
I contain multitudes.
I know that song. I don't think you mistranslated that message. And I think everything about it is intentional. The way it was delivered, the letterhead, using a song lyric with Amanda's last name, all of it.
Who would do something like that?
Someone who would choose to use Cockney rhyming slang as their alias, just to be precious about it. If I'm interpreting all of this correctly, Amanda is fine.
Thank goodness.
But the implication is that she won't be if we don't go to Cincinnati.
Weren't you planning on doing that anyway?
We were. And that's an encouraging sign. Whoever Mickey Bliss is, they think they've got us figured out. This demonstrates that they don't. And we can use that to our advantage.
I'm coming with you.
You're damn right you are.
Paladin, the Vertibot is just about ready.
No issues, I take it?
Not A1.
The Syndicate may not try to track them, but if they do, Scribeldas' new transponder should help. How did those tests go?
Very well. Scribe Navia had a concurrent session running that was trying to crack the encryption the whole way. Couldn't put a dent in it. The best part was that the false telemetry it was sending was completely believable.
You were able to track it, though.
I was. Didn't lose it once. As long as you have the key, you're golden. Otherwise, you're going to think you're tracking several different routine vertibot flights. Speaking of that, though...
Uh-oh.
I've had Initia Henderson working on daily imports of the flight tracking logs for analysis. Mostly so we can create flight plans that'll go unnoticed with all the automated flights out there.
And?
He's been looking at the data in real time for about a month with a few of the scribes. Nothing stood out to them until yesterday.
What did they see?
A bogey. Big one, too. The odd thing was that we weren't able to detect a transponder. At least at first.
But you did eventually.
We did. Scribe Navia suggested that we widen our scan, and that's when things started to get interesting. It was an Enclave bird.
Why is that interesting? There are plenty of Enclave vertibots flying around Appalachia.
There are, and their transponders all operate within a specific frequency range. Those ranges are assigned regionally. I don't know where that bird came from, but it wasn't here.
You're sure of that?
About as certain as I reasonably can be, given the available data.
What do you have, other than the anomalous transponder frequency?
Its flight path. It came in from the northwest, stopped for about 45 minutes, and then went back the way it came. I don't know where it went, but both legs that we saw were practically straight lines.
Hmm. We disguise our runs to Cincinnati and North Carolina by mimicking the flight pattern of an automated sortie. The fact that whoever was operating that bogey didn't suggests inexperience.
Possibly. They might also not have a handle on our tracking capabilities. I've kept that project compartmentalized, given that we suspect there may be one or more syndicate moles operating here at Fort Atlas.
A prescient decision, as usual.
Thank you.
Do we know what its mission was?
No. I sent a team to its landing site, but there was nothing out of the ordinary. Just some disturbed foliage. Since they stopped for 45 minutes, we set up a search perimeter consistent with a brisk 20-minute walk.
What's within that radius?
Not much. The spider's web is about 15 minutes away. Other than that, there's nothing but some homes, a couple farms, a few shops. Nothing with any strategic value.
I'm reluctant to ask this, but did you reach out to the Enclave to see if it was one of theirs?
I did. Carefully. My contact seemed surprised. He said that Colonel Faustina has been... how did he put it? Irritatedly dismissive of our program and has no interest in spinning up, no pun intended, one of her own.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, his intel is always solid.
How much did it cost?
A case of bourbon.
Ouch.
I know, it feels like an overpay, but I didn't think I had time to negotiate. He did throw in another piece of information for free, not sure if it's useful or not.
What is it?
He said that the specific frequency was in the band that the Enclave used in Chicago.
Interesting, I suppose, but not particularly useful without additional context. Could it have been a test flight? We ran several of those ourselves.
It's possible, but it seems unlikely. This felt purposeful in a way that our test flights never did.
Paladin! Hey, sorry to interrupt.
It's fine, Ty. What's going on?
I just got off the horn with Scribe Valdez. She's on her way with Beth and Cindy, and they're coming in hot.
With Cindy? Shouldn't Valeria have her on lockdown at the bunker? And what about Amanda?
All I know regarding Cindy is that she's going to Cincinnati with them.
And Amanda?
Scribe Valdez told me that they believe that Amanda was abducted by Zangief.
I'm not complaining, but abducted? Not murdered?
She didn't have time to get into the details, but she indicated that based on new intel, they're confident that she's either in Cincinnati or being taken there now.
I don't get it. I'm not well-versed in how the criminal underground works, but why send a hitman to abduct someone? There have to be people that specialize in kidnapping.
Our intel was rock solid. They definitely sent Zangief. And there was no indication that they'd hired anyone else.
It's possible that the situation changed somehow. Moved up their timeline. Again, not complaining, but why not just follow through with the assassination? Kidnapping her just makes things more complicated.
But it removes two significant complications from the situation on the ground here in Appalachia.
Assassinating Amanda only takes one of the big three out of the picture. Kidnapping her and getting those two to chase her to Ohio takes care of all three.
But only temporarily.
Unless they're planning on hitting the Vertibot in flight.
What about the new transponder?
Defense in depth, Knight Jenkins. I'm putting our two best shooters on the doors with M249s.
Niedermeyer and Stratton?
Yes. Hopefully, they won't have to fire a shot. But I'm not willing to take any chances.
Stratton, really? Knight Maggie's drawers himself?
You have a better idea?
Yeah, send me. I'm a way better shot than either of those two.
You are, but you're also our only set of eyes inside the Syndicate's operations.
They don't know what I look like. Hell, just put Knight Stratton on the manifest, and I'll go in his place. Nobody will be the wiser.
All right. The safety of the people on that Vertibot is our primary concern, even over protecting Knight Jenkins' undercover identity.
I'll brief the team when they arrive. We'll try to avoid burning you, Ty, but be prepared just in case.
Will do.
This is now an all-hands-on-deck situation. Time to light the beacons of Gondor.
Light the what now?
Never mind, but I'm taking you down to the library as soon as this situation is resolved.
What do you need us to do?
We need to protect the three conduit sites, as well as the location that you investigated.
We don't have that kind of manpower.
No, we don't. But we have friends who do. Contact the Free States and let them know that we're invoking the Mutual Defense Agreement.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll sound general quarters. Whatever the Syndicate may or may not be planning on throwing at us, we'll be ready.
Hello and welcome. What can I get for you? A room, some food? My sister runs the best restaurant in town.
Best in town. Yeah, maybe in a bit. That does sound very, very tempting. Could have at least had a beverage service. One of my friends received a message. And, well, we've never seen anything like it. Ran it by every language expert we know, and they all said the same.
You know a lot of language experts?
A surprising number of them, now that you mention it, yeah.
Well, I'll do my best, but I only speak one language. And some would argue not particularly well.
Well, you still may have some insights that will help us figure out what the hell is going on.
Okay.
This is the message.
What the devil? The text, is it moving? Even the ink is something I've never seen before. It looks metallic, with an almost organic quality.
And how about the writing itself? Does it look familiar? The characters?
It's fascinating, but no. Like I said, though, I'm no expert. I'm sorry I can't be of more help.
Nah, it's all right. But that's not why I wanted you to see it.
I don't know anything about this.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure. Anybody could have had access to that stationery.
Yeah, one of those anybodies took my friend.
Our parents bought cases and cases of that stationery before the war. We've been putting a few sheets in the guest rooms for years. It gives people a sense of normalcy.
Think harder.
Who are you? I might be able to help you even if I can't tell you who sent you that message.
Alright. Let's take a step back and start over. Eric Stratton, damn glad to meet you.
Damn glad to meet you. Let me take another look at it.
What do you see?
There's a slight indentation on the paper. Someone wrote another note before this one. This page was directly under that one.
Okay. And can you read it?
No.
Do you have a pencil?
Yes. I usually use pens, but I always keep one handy in case I need it in a pinch.
Most of the page is covered by that text. Looks like there is something on the bottom, though. A signature, maybe? M. Bliss.
That can't be.
What can't be?
Oh, it's just that nobody by that name has ever checked in, and I'd know.
I see.
But it's not altogether surprising that someone would check in under an assumed name. It's not like we check IDs. We just count the caps.
Oh, of course.
Would you excuse me for a moment? I need to check on something in the restaurant.
Sure. I'm gonna go step outside and get some fresh air. Take your time. Starling Leader, this is Starling 3.
Go ahead, Starling 3.
I showed the note to the innkeeper. He pretended not to recognize the text, but he's not a good actor. Never saw somebody get that pale that fast.
Beth and I both got the feeling that Stephen and Mara knew more about what the Black Halls were up to than they were letting on.
Found something else interesting. I was able to do a pencil rubbing on the bottom of the page. There was a signature. M. Bliss.
So Mickey Bliss did send that note.
I think that's a logical conclusion. Especially considering how evasive Stephen was about it. But he did let one thing slip that I believe. He said that Bliss never stayed at the inn, at least as far as he knew.
That's useful. The intel we've gathered on him indicates that he doesn't like to get his hands dirty. He stays at his home base and has other people handle things.
And while we don't know specifically where that home base is, we're almost certain that it's not in Cincinnati. As far as we're aware, Scarlatti is the only one actually based here.
If he's in Cincinnati himself, that could be our best indication yet that they're going to make a move imminently.
And if he's still in town, he may still be at the inn. I'll do some recon. How are things at the Trinity?
We've decided to divide and conquer. Cindy's at the Vault Tech building. Beth's back at the Dunwich building. And I'm looking around West Tech.
Anything yet?
I haven't found anything even indirectly related to the Black Halls in here. Just about everything I've found is related to fertility treatments.
Fertility treatments? That's odd.
It's not, though. After a nuclear war, reproduction could be difficult. A dose of ionizing radiation as small as 10 rads can cause temporary impacts.
Well, in that case, I suppose it does make a lot of sense. Vault-Tec was supposed to be all about the preservation and survival of the human race. And it's hard for that to happen if people can't have children.
The research is exciting. Some of it is even complete, or close to completion. Just before the war, they successfully created gametes from bone marrow.
That, definitely sounds exciting. But...
I know.
I get it. Science can be pretty cool sometimes.
Only sometimes?
Don't push it. My girlfriend is planning your wedding, remember?
No need to make threats. I'll stay focused.
Starling 2 here.
Found something you might be interested in. Go ahead, Starling 2.
I think I found Dr. Haywood's office, and that's not all. It looks like he was here for a while after the war.
How long is a while?
There are terminal entries through 2096, but there were longer and longer gaps as time went on.
Sounds like he kept coming back. But why?
Download as many of those entries as you can. There may be something useful in there, but we don't have time for a fishing expedition right now.
Understood.
Starling 2 out.
Mr. Stratton?
Gotta go, Starling 3 out.
Yes?
Sorry to bother you. I'm Mara. My brother told me about the note you showed him. Could I see it?
You look a lot less surprised than your brother did. Have you seen something like this before?
Yes. And I hoped I'd never see something like it again.
Where did you see it?
In the Dunwich building. A long time ago. Stephen told me not to go messing around in there, but I didn't listen. I figured he was just being an overprotective big brother, and maybe he was. But there was so much neat stuff at the Trinity, and there never was anybody around. So I never had to worry about anybody catching me. Turns out there was a good reason for that.
Which was?
Look, I don't believe in ghosts, but I saw things there that showed me that there's a lot out there that maybe we just haven't discovered. And some of them? Well, maybe we shouldn't.
More things in heaven and earth.
Shakespeare forgot to mention hell when he wrote that. Because what I saw didn't come from earth, and it sure as shit didn't come from heaven either.
What did you see?
I don't want to talk about it. Hell, I don't even know if I can talk about it. Not specifically. But I'll say this. The Vault Tech and West Tech buildings were pretty normal. But the Dunwich building? I never should have gone into that place. Much less the basement. I felt something calling me. And I almost listened. You asked where I saw that writing? That's where. And I wish that was all I saw. I never told anyone. Not even my brother. But I've told everyone I've talked to since. Stay away from the Dunwich building.
Mara, please. I have a friend in danger. And anything you can tell me will help.
The only thing I can tell you is to stay away from that building. All you'll do is lose yourself. I was lucky. You might not be. And if your friend is already there, you've already lost them.
This is Starling 1. Please rendezvous at my location.
Starling Leader here. Acknowledged. We will rendezvous at Site Alpha.
Thank you.
What are we walking into, 1?
You'll see when you get here.
Is everything okay, Starling 1?
Yes, it is. See you soon.
Starling 2, meet outside Site Alpha.
We'll go in together.
Starling 3.
I'll catch up. Be there as fast as I can. Starling 3 out.
Go.
Any parting words of wisdom?
Just be careful, okay? I hope you save your friend.
I got here as quickly as I could. Is everything all right?
It is. Well,
what is it?
Do you feel anything?
No. Nothing out of the ordinary.
I do. There's something here. Something powerful.
How do you know that?
I don't know how I know. I just sort of feel it.
It could be a residual effect of the bracer.
My thought as well. When Adrian activated the veil to send us home, I could feel its power. Even though I wasn't wearing it anymore. I suppose it may always be a part of me.
It may.
But beyond that, look, someone's been here. And recently.
Two someones. But it could be any two someones, not necessarily Amanda and Zangief.
It could. But you said it yourself. Everything about this has felt intentional. Nothing has been left to chance. And much of it depends on my life in Graalsburg and what I learned there.
Whoever sent that message knew you could translate it, and that it would bring you here.
And not just here to Cincinnati. Here, to this complex. And once I was here, well, they knew I'd be drawn to this place.
Did you feel anything like this when you explored the complex originally? Before you went to Graalsburg?
No, nothing. Well, aside from being creeped out.
I know that feeling.
If it makes you feel any better, that hasn't abated even with everything else I'm feeling.
All right. What does this mean? Do we go inside? Can we go inside?
I think this is our best option right now. And I don't think we can wait for Tile, Cindy.
I'll tell them where we are and they can follow us in when they get here.
Good plan.
Starling 2 and Starling 3, this is Starling Leader. Starling 1 and I are headed inside Site Alpha. Acknowledge, please. Do you read? Nothing. This doesn't make sense. You came in loud and clear.
They're on their way regardless. Let's do what you said. Head inside and clear a path for them to follow.
I'll open the door. Cover me. Locked. They're not going to make it easy for us, are they?
Where's the fun in that? I'll pick it. Just a moment. Try it now.
Clear. Looks like the power's still on.
That should make this slightly less perilous. But only slightly. This must be a service entrance.
There's an elevator over here.
Does it look safe?
I don't think it's passed inspection since before the war, but what little I can see appears to be structurally sound. Don't suppose there's a stairwell in here somewhere?
Could do with a bit of cardio, but I'm afraid not. The only door is the one we came through. Well, onward and downward it is, I suppose. Seems to be a theme.
Slow and steady. I'll take it.
I'll take left.
Roger. What is it?
Look around. This room is straight out of the Blackhall Manor Design Collection.
It looks like a waiting room, but a waiting room for what? There aren't any doors leading to other rooms. Not even a bathroom. Just the elevator.
An odd design choice. We have to be missing something. I could see if this piano's in tune.
Do you know the song Miss Otis Regrets? Seems like an appropriate tune for the occasion. Wait. That might be it.
What might be it?
When Greg was exploring that site in the ash heap, he got into a hidden chamber by playing a harp. The tune was on a painting right next to it.
And you think something similar might be in play here?
It's worth a try, don't you think?
It is. But there are no paintings on the walls down here. Much less any with sheet music on them.
I'll look around.
Wait, I have an idea. Both Eric and Elias used to hum a tune constantly. Drove Sylvia mad. She finally pressed Eric on it, and he said it was a leitmotif called Caroline. Been in the Blackhall family since before they even came to Grolsberg.
It seems like a long shot, but I don't see any other options.
Let's see if I can actually remember it. No, that's not it.
Perfect sense now that I think about it. Passing the key down from generation to generation without even knowing it.
Can't lose that kind of key. Well, unless you're tone deaf, I suppose.
Well, I'm glad you're not.
Me too.
Shall we?
We shall.
Jeez, took you too long enough.
Amanda! Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Captain Crazy Pants didn't hurt me or anything.
Captain Crazy Pants?
I'm sorry to have to hold you at gunpoint like this. It feels so vulgar. I'm impressed by how quickly you got here. I trust that my message wasn't difficult to translate.
Elena, your accent.
Oh yeah, you haven't been formally introduced. Elizabeth Kirby and Odessa Valdez, please say hello to Mickey Bliss himself. Herself. Whatever.
Ugh. Of course it was you.
Who are you, though, really? Your name clearly isn't Mickey Bliss.
Oh, I thought you'd enjoy that alias. Oh, it was lost on Victor and Dimitri. Now that you're here, there's no need for that kind of subterfuge. Especially given that I've known who you really were since you returned from your excursion. My name is Catherine. Catherine Blackhall.
You are a Blackhall. Well, that's the least surprising revelation so far.
We have a bit of a surprise for you, though. Seems only fair.
Go on.
The game is up. Victor and Dimitri know what you're really up to.
What? How?
We sent a message to them through Victor's old friend, Craig McCallan.
They know you were using them, and this takeover of Appalachia was nothing of the sort. They don't know that you were Mickey Bliss yet, but we'll make sure that they do.
It's over, Catherine.
Oh, Beth. Your vision is still that narrow after all you've been through? Victor and Dimitri's usefulness ended when you came back through that doorway. I don't need them anymore. I only need you.
For what?
It's time to fulfill your destiny. You shirked it when you were away, but now you'll have the opportunity to embrace it. The time has come to finally call forth Ugg Qualtoff and free him from his prison. To awaken him from his slumber.
I'm not gonna do that. I died once to stop it, and I'll do it again if I have to. How do you know I shirked my destiny?
Both you and Odessa have been in Ugg Qualtoff's presence. I felt it the moment you returned. I can smell him on you. I don't know the details yet, of course. But I will.
We are not going to help you.
Fine.
Fine.
I'll start by killing your friend, and then I'll move on to Appalachia after killing you.
You got a lot of balls, lady. You have any idea who you're fucking with?
Oh, I do. That's why I've been careful. I brought you here, specifically here, for a reason. This chamber is a nexus point of sorts. It was the doorway between our world and Ugg Qualtoff's former resting place.
And now?
Now it's held in perfect balance by a warding sigil. A sigil that I can deactivate on a whim. The key is already in place.
And if you deactivate it?
We will all be exposed to the full force and power of the Great Old Ones. They may be gone, but their essence is not. No mortal can withstand it. You will beg for death before you are finally granted it. The madness will tear your soul to shreds before you are.
Aren't you forgetting something? You're mortal too.
I am. But as I said, I've been careful. I will be fully protected.
An artifact?
Yes. The Shroud of Dagon. Very handy in situations like this.
Of course you'd pull a magical bullshit device right out of your ass.
Nothing has been pulled out of anywhere. This has all been planned, foretold. It has simply been up to each of us to understand things in context to bring all of these disparate pieces together. And I have. I will finally achieve what my mother or any other Blackhall or Dunwich could not.
You may as well flip the switch, because we are not helping you.
She's right. I spent nearly 30 years studying your family and everything they'd done to try to bring forth Ugg Qualtoff. To quote one of your relatives, one with far more honor than you. This ends now.
There is a chance, a slim chance, that your contact with Ugg Qualtoff has inured you both to the effects of what I'm about to do. Your friend won't be so lucky, I'm afraid. It's a pity. I was growing to like you, Amanda.
Ha! Fuck you.
And I would have liked to have worked alongside you both. It's too bad that your pig-headedness and lack of vision has prevented that.
Beth.
Take my hand. Whatever happens, we'll be together. I love you.
I love you too.
What the hell? Cindy?
Guess the Shroud of Dagon is no match for a 45.
How long were you waiting out there?
Long enough to know I had to act fast. I was gonna wait for Ty, but he had a lot farther to go to get here than I did.
Can you uncuff me?
Yes, of course.
I'll get that key. These kinds of devices can be touchy. Can't have it going off accidentally.
Make sure you get a gun, too.
Everybody okay? I mean, you know, except for Miss Blackhall over here.
I'm fine.
I am, too.
Good. What do we do now?
Let's get out of this chamber. Being here is very unsettling.
We owe Victor and Dimitri a meeting. We need to explain everything that's happened and negotiate a truce of some sort.
For what it's worth, I never got the vibe that either of them were all that interested in Appalachia anyway. I think we'll be able to work something out.
I'll contact Paladin Romani and send a detail here to secure the site. They'll lock things down the best they can and bring any tech or artifacts back to Fort Atlas for analysis.
They'll need to make sure that if any of the Black Hawks come calling, they won't have easy access to this chamber or the Veil. It's too dangerous.
Of course.
I'll grab that shroud of whoever off Kathy. It's not like she needs it anymore.
Is this finally over? Like, really over?
For now, at least. But we don't know how many Black Hawks are still out there. One thing I learned in Grasberg is that they never give up. He says one less of them to worry about.
About that.
Oh no. What now?
She's gone.
Gone? The only way out of that chamber was the way we came in.
The only one we could see. Those sorts of chambers often have things hidden from view, both physical and metaphysical. I have the key, so at least no one can deactivate that warding sigil.
Okay, not ideal, but she's on the run, and I guarantee that Victor and Dimitri want her dead. She's gonna have to hightail it out of town.
Agreed.
Alright, let's lock this place up and get the hell out of here.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I want you all rested up for the bachelorette party. I got big plans.
That's terrifying. Exciting, but terrifying.
Oh, you have no idea, babe. This is going to be art.
I'll take your word for it.
She won't even tell me what she's planning. It must be good.
I'll give you a hint. That room in the basement I won't let you near, we're going in.
Oh, now you have my curiosity piqued.
Don't worry, you'll be recovered in time for the wedding. Probably.
Once Upon a Wasteland, Season 3, Episode 9, That Day We Read No More, was produced and directed by Brad Williams and written by DK Trueno. Starring Letitia Lehman as Elizabeth Kirby, Vitriol Plays as Odessa Valdez, and Lucy Middleton as Amanda Otis. Also starring Pandora Beatrix as Layla Romani and Maria Cheshire as Cindy Connors. Featuring Justine Leah Hintz as Elena Sorokin, Eric B. Rowland as Bones, Benjamin Campbell as Knight Gregory Carlson, Dexter Howard as Knight Tyler Jenkins, Justice Margovsky as Stephen, and Beck Hughes as Mara. Opening narration by Ashley Sacon, I'm Kirsty Harrison. Please join us for our next episode, our season finale, Season 3, Episode 10, Unbroken Still Through All. Unbroken Still Through All. Or another take, if you don't like that one.
I'm Brad Williams, the creator of Once Upon a Wasteland. We'd like to thank you for joining us for the 9th episode of our 3rd season, and we hope that you'll continue to join us as we follow Beth and Odessa's journey toward Happily Ever After. A big thank you to our VIP patrons, the Mysterious Courier from the North and Spaded Jugla. We'd also like to thank Don McCormick and Jeffrey Patch. Thank you all for your support. If you'd like to support the show, you can find details, including benefits like Discord access and merch, at patreon.com/onceuponawasteland. For more information on our show, visit our website, onceuponawasteland.com, where you'll find show information, scripts for each episode, artwork, and more. You can also find us on Twitter at OnceUpon76Pod, Blue Sky at OnceUponAWasteland.com, and on Instagram and Threads at OnceUponAWasteland. If you like this episode, please leave a rating and review, which helps other listeners find us, and we hope you'll subscribe as well. Word of mouth is vitally important, so please, tell your friends. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can reach out to us directly on Twitter, via email at brad@onceuponawasteland.com, or on Discord at reticentduet. Thank you.